apart from Christ, O Lord, having no hope, O Lord, without God, O Lord, in the world, O Lord.
O Lord. Okay, we'll come back to that verse in a little bit. We'll get to enjoy a little bit first, okay? But then we're going to come back to that, because if you notice in this outline, we're on message 3. Okay, let me stop. I'm Ben Feit. I'm from Houston. I grew up in Irving in the Metroplex, so that's who I am, I'll tell you. We're coming to message 3. It's the church, the household, and the kingdom of God, okay? So there's 2 points. The household and the kingdom of God. Okay? The church is the household and it's the kingdom of God. Again, just to remind you from what Peter said, all these are related to building. Okay? Everything in this conference, and most of you'll notice almost all but one outline really is heavy on the book of Ephesians. So we'll get into Ephesians more. If you want to get some feeling, it's good to just read through Ephesians, and we'll touch it in a little bit. Okay. The first point is the church is the household of God. And you'll notice, we're going to get here, these verses are out of order in terms of where they come in the truth, right? So 2:19 is the household and 2:12. And I was actually considering whether we should start with 2:12. But let's follow the outline, okay? Let's follow the outline. Let's see, what's the household of God, okay? So Roman 1 is the church is the household of God. And I want you, in this verse, it's really important. We'll touch fellow citizens. Actually, that really relates to the next point. So, but we'll just talk about members of the household of God. What does that imply? You know, when somebody says, I'm members of a household, you know, if you're a member of the Feit household, you're in my family. Okay? So that's why the first point is the church is the household of the faith, a matter of promise, a family matter, right? Amen. For our enjoyment. Hallelujah, for our enjoyment. Hallelujah. So, you know, this really follows, even though it doesn't quite go in the order of the verses, but this follows what Obi shared about the one new man. You know, in this, if you look, what I want you to do is if you have a Bible, it's good if you bring a Bible to a conference. Unfortunately, we didn't get all the verses on here. It would have been a lot longer. My outline's like 8 pages because I printed out a lot of the verses in the footnotes when I was studying. Because I wanted to get into this. The footnotes in these verses are really wonderful. And if you look, actually, all this outline, there's a lot in the footnotes. So I can't cover it all, but I would encourage you to maybe go back and read some of these things. So if you look at Ephesians 2:19, footnote 4, the first part, members of household of God indicates the house of God. So it's called the household of God, but it indicates a house, right? A household has a house. It can't be a household without a house, right? Both the Jewish and Gentile believers are members of God's house. So because the middle wall of partition has been abolished, amen, now all the people on the earth can be members of the same household. Amen. Right? Now, this matter of God's house, we'll get to this, just I'm reading the footnote, is a matter of life and enjoyment. Amen. All believers are born of God into his house to enjoy his riches. So that's just a little snippet. That's a summary, I would say, of this part on the household. If you can't remember anything, go to footnote 4, Ephesians 2:19, okay? So what about this first point? The church is the household of the faith, right? It's a family matter for our enjoyment. You know, as believers in Christ, we have a great family. We belong to a family of God. We're brothers and sisters. You know, I grew up in the church life. You know, we just call it so, brother and so-and-so, sister so-and-so. But, you know, I was considering this when I had kids. Do I tell my kids to say so-and-so is a brother or a sister? Eventually, we gave up trying to explain it. They do it sometimes, and, you know. But if I was going to be accurate, unless they're saved, they're not really a brother and sister in the family of God. Now, but I don't know when my kids get saved. I mean, a little one, you know, we don't know. But the point is, you know, so we don't insist, right? Don't impose. Don't want to confuse them. But when we're saved, we realize we're brothers and sisters in a family, right? And this is really something, because in a family, there's a kind of intimacy. I mean, you consider your own family, whether you get along with your siblings or not, or your parents at times, there's an intimacy. I mean, when you're with your family, it's special. I don't know if you've ever been to a family reunion, you meet family members, maybe you don't even know them. But you realize, wow, we're all family. There's kind of a dropping of, you know, inhibition. You can go sit down, wow, you know, you're Aunt so-and-so, and oh, you're the son of, you know, and it's really like, it's not like sitting next to somebody in a lecture. It's totally different. We're a family. Amen. So that's the outward picture, but in our experience, you know, all believers, you have to realize everybody that believes in the Lord is your family member. You know, we've emphasized here the church, but, you know, fellowship with another brother last night. This experience of being a family of God actually applies to all the believers. Yeah. This is why, if you have this experience, you're with somebody that's a Christian, you realize, wow, I have a fellowship with them. I have an intimacy with them because they're a believer. And I don't know, I grew up in the Metroplex, and where I grew up, everybody was a Christian. But now, where I am in Houston and in my job, you know, a lot of people are not. And I don't know how it is where you are. Every place is different. A lot of people are not Christians. And, man, it's such a difference. When you find out somebody's a believer, there is just a different atmosphere. Immediately, we can talk about a job, but there's a different atmosphere. And then there's an opportunity to jump into fellowship. Just like, oh, you're a believer. I can share a verse with you. You know, I found out this lady at my work was a Christian, and we were talking. She asked, what are you doing? Where are you going to town? I told her I was going to a conference. She has a high school daughter, lives in Carrollton. She says, I'll pray for you. And then I was talking about something else from work, you know, via email Thursday before I could leave. I said, oh, I've got to leave. She says, I'm praying. You know, I mean, why? Because she's a family member. Before that, she was just a coworker that lived in a different city that I corresponded via email and phone, right? And then, but after that, it's like, she's a believer. She's a family member, right? So, you know, this is why in Galatians 6:10 it says, so then, as we have opportunity, let us do what is good toward all, but especially toward those of the household of the faith. And in footnote 2, so I'm going to keep referring to the footnotes, it says, the household of the faith refers to the children of the promise. And you look down to the next verse, right? But you, brothers, in the way of Isaac was, are children of promise, okay? All who are sons of God through faith in Christ. And that verse there is Galatians 3:26. But you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. All the believers together constitute a universal household, the great family of God. This is through faith in Christ, not through works of law. The household, as the new man, is composed of all the members of Christ, with Christ as their constituent. Hence, we should do good, especially toward those of this household, regardless of their race or social rank. Isn't that a sweet footnote? So we have some riches here. You just have to get into it. But this is a thought. In the family, you know, we have, we're all sons. This is another point, is in a family, you have an expression, okay? One wonderful thing about a family is, you know, if you get around my kids, you'll eventually realize they express their parents. We even think they really express their grandparents, you know, different ways. It's really interesting. Why? Because we're a family. There's a life in us. So when you got saved, you got a life. And this life has a certain expression. Saints, we're all sons of God. Yeah, we were talking about this. We're not merely adopted. In a sense, we're made legal heirs, okay? That's not wrong to use that word. But we have the very life of God. Amen. Organically, we're members of God. And because we have his life, there's a certain expression. Amen. Right? We have the same life. We have the life of God. Amen. So we can express God. So in our family, as the proper family of God, there should be an expression of God. And that family is an enjoyment. Isn't it an enjoyment to be? Most of the time, it's an enjoyment to be with our family. You know, sometimes we have strife and things like that. But really, compared to people in the world, you know, we like to be with our family. This is why we like to be with the saints. You ever realize, why do I like to be with the saints so much? They're so different from me, but I love being with the saints. Anyway, praise the Lord. That's the family. Okay, there's a couple other points in the house of God. The second point is a different angle altogether. The church is the house of God, a matter of God's governmental administration. So not only is there enjoyment in the house, we also have responsibilities. How about, let's do the half of the rooms again. This half, read Hebrews 3:6. Okay, this side, read 1 Peter 4:17.
For it is time for the judgment to begin from the house of God, and in verse from us, what will the end of those who disobey the gospel of God?
A little bit more serious, right? So not only do we have enjoyment in this house, in this family, there's also some responsibility. Isn't this the same with our family, in our household? You know, maybe a little kid, you know, I have a 2-year-old, she doesn't have a lot of responsibility. But we're working on the 5-year-old, that she would have some more responsibility, you know? Maybe if she cleans her room, we can give her something, right? She's learning to have some responsibility. It's still, there's a certain measure, but as you get older, if you're 25 living in a house, you don't have any responsibility, just languishing around, you're a dead weight. Get out, you know. Don't live with your parents when you're 25, you can avoid it. If the Lord arranges it, praise the Lord. But anyway, amen. All right, so looking at this verse, Hebrews 3:6, there's an if there. Whose house we are if. If. There's a condition. You know, if you program, you know about if statements, right? And also legally, right? If, right? Both these and 1 Peter imply that God disciplines his house, right? If we would take care of something. So in Hebrews 3:6, we need to hold fast. Amen. That's good, though. I mean, these things are positive and negative. On one hand, we hold fast. But in Peter, the whole book is on the God's judgment. Yeah. But God judges. You know what the Lord wants to do? He wants to have dominion over the earth, and he wants to judge Satan. Amen. But he's righteous, so do you know what he does? Is he judges his house first. Yeah. You know, can you imagine you're with somebody and they have some unruly kids that are just mean and naughty, and then some other kids at the park and they're like, look, you don't do this, and their kids just run around. Wouldn't that make you mad? That's not righteous. I've seen that. That's why I can talk about it. I mean, you know, people do that. They love their kids so much, they don't. But then they'll come and talk about bad about yours, right? So, why? Well, God's not like that. He's not like that. So we get judgment. Eventually, the whole world will be judged. You sometimes we think, Lord, why are you judging me? Well, first of all, he wants to purify us, to make us his pure expression of Christ. So we need that. So forgetting everything else, but to judge the world, to bring an end to this age, he first has to begin with us. Anyway, you have to read 1 Peter and get into the 1 Peter. I don't have time here, but you know, there's a real neat footnote in 17:2. It's real sweet regarding this point. The household, that is the church, is composed of the believers. From this house, as his own house, God begins his governmental administration by God's disciplinary judgment over his own children. This is not over others' children. We're his children. This is, and because we're his own, that's really sweet. But because we're own, we get discipline from our Father. Then he has a strong ground to judge his universal kingdom, those who are disobedient to his gospel and rebellious toward his government. The Lord wants to bring in dominion, but first he has to begin with us. Okay, so that's the point on the administration. Okay, so now let's jump to C. Everybody read C together. The church is the house of the living God, a matter of God's dwelling. Amen. Let's read the verse, 1 Peter 3:15. This is an awesome verse. It's packed, so we can't cover all of it. But I just enjoyed the house of God. This is the focus, right? The house of God, which is the church. The house of God, which is the church. And so this word, same word in Greek, also can be household. So this is the term here, household. This household, so footnote 2. The household, the family of God, is the house of God. The house and the household are one thing. So in God's eyes, we talk about the household, but he talks about the house. And then he talks about the house, and we talk about the household. Well, they're the same thing. God's building is his household, because his building and his people are not separate. It's kind of confusing, but this is how it is, right? The household and household are one thing. The assembly that is composed of the believers. The reality of this house, this is a sweet point in the footnote. The reality of this house as the dwelling place of the living God is in our spirit.
Amen.
We must live and act in our spirit so that in this house, God can be manifested as the living God. Okay, so the point in this is the house of what? Just the house of God? You know, people talk about, come to the house of God. Well, it's not just the house of God, it's the house of the living God, his dwelling place. So the God we have is living. He wants to have an expression, and he wants to have a dwelling place. I appreciate it earlier we saw, right? God wants to dwell among man. This is really right here, right? He wants a dwelling place where he can live and be manifested. The living church is the house and household of the living God, right? This living God is not, it's not an objective living. He's not, I mean, he's subjectively living in us and he wants to be expressed in us. He wants to act. He wants to move. He wants to work. This is why he needs the one new man, right? Because he has a mind. He has an opinion. This is all the matter of his dwelling in us. This God has a life in us, and he has a desire, and he has a heart. He has a will. He wants to work some things out. He wants to move on the earth. All this is out and through his dwelling.
Amen.
So this is a wonderful point regarding the house, right? Eventually, this house is, if we look later, is the pillar and base of the truth. So this living expression of God becomes a manifestation, and pillar is a building of house. It becomes a built-up thing, and it's a bulwark, which is a defense for the truth. Anyway, that's just a side point, but it's really wonderful. Okay, D. Let's read D together.
The church is a spiritual house.
Amen.
A matter of God's life.
Amen. A spiritual house. A matter of God's life. So all these are different aspects of the house, right? We saw it's a household of faith, a matter of promise, right? A family matter. It's a house of God. Right? A governmental matter. It's a house of the living God, a matter of dwelling, and then a spiritual house, a matter of life. So 1 Peter 2:5 says, you yourselves also as what? Living stones. Have you ever seen a living stone? You're all living stones, saints. Say yes, you have. Okay. We're all living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house. That's the key point. Into a holy priesthood. To offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Christ. Amen. A spiritual house. Living stones. Amen. We, the believers in Christ, are the living stones through regeneration and transformation. Amen. So we receive the seed of the divine life. And then this life grows. Amen. So the key point here is this is a spiritual house. It's something growing. It's something of life. It's something of the divine life.
Amen.
Matter of it being spiritual is a matter of it being divine, right? There's a divine life in us, and it is growing. So we as living stones need more life.
Amen.
That we could grow up to be a spiritual house. And then this same house is also holy. So this house is a priesthood. The house is the priesthood. The priesthood and the house are not two separate things. They're the same thing. You're all spiritual house. You're all a holy priesthood. We're all growing up, right, to be such a spiritual house. Right? Not separated, right? It's wonderful about a house. So if you tell me I need to grow, I would say, yes, Lord, I need to grow. You need to be holy? Yeah, I need to be holy. But this isn't just, as we saw in Genesis, it's not a bunch of scattered, holy, and living stones. It's a house. It's built up. I mean, it's made of materials, and they're built together. There's a corporate entity. So this spiritual house is not just spiritual stones, but a built-up entity. And it's not just priests, it's priesthood.
Amen.
It's a corporate functioning, you know, moving body of priests that bring God to people and bring people to God.
Amen.
Anyway, this is our portion. So isn't the household a wonderful thing?
Yeah.
Okay, so this is the household. This is an aspect, a wonderful kind of sweet aspect of the church.
Amen.
I enjoy this, but I'm also extremely burdened for the next part. And I think we got it when we were getting into the verses, right? So whoever has, let's read Roman numeral 2. The church is the commonwealth of Israel, the kingdom of God. Okay. Everybody, whoever has a Bible, like out, can you jump to Ephesians 2:11? It's not on here. But we need Ephesians 2:11 and 2:12. Better to put it in my pocket. How about we just read it? Whoever has it. 2:11, there, yeah. Remember that once you, the Gentiles in the flesh, those who are called the circumcision by that which is called circumcision in the flesh made by hands. Okay, read. You were at that time apart from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of the promise, having no hope and without God in the world. There's a lot of negative things here, right? So we're going to get into what is the commonwealth of Israel, the kingdom of God. But, okay. Let's talk about what's here, right? Remember all those negative things that we had? We had a line, right? Well, all these negative things are what we are. Gentiles. Right? In the flesh. What's next? Uncircumcision. I can't really write very well, so forgive me. Apart. I'm going to run out of room. Alienated. Well, strangers, right? Strangers to what? To the covenants. Okay. No hope. Without God. Right? Without God. Oh, Lord. In the world. This is really depressing, right? You see this? Far off. Far off? Do we have that somewhere? Far off. Far off. We'll put far off over here. Far off. Far off. Right. Far off. Okay. So we saw there was two peoples, right? Is anybody here Jewish? Me? Okay. My grandfather is. So I'm going to be the closest thing here. But I'm still a Gentile. I'm probably like a mixed race Gentile dog here. The Jews, they had all kinds of things. They weren't Gentiles. They were circumcised. So what are the Jews? If you had the covenant of the promise, you were a Jew, okay? Circumcised, right? Yeah, I'm not going to get all of them. Let's see. Covenants. You had covenants. And promise. You had hope. Yeah, hope. You had God. You had God's dwelling, right? Let's see. What else do I want? I want. You were part of the commonwealth. Let me just say that. Oh, near, right? Near. Near. Okay. This is some of the things. What did they have? You know, really, this was God's arrangement. God's arrangement was he had a people he called out. You remember Abraham? All the ones on the side of last night, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they were all here. He called out a race out of all these other things, and he had a people that were his people. Amen. You know what he gave Abraham? Do you remember? He gave him a promise. Right? He gave him a promise. They were children of the promise. And he gave them covenants. And we were listening. I was listening to the life study, the audio life study of Ephesians 23. Anyway, it's not in the book. You have to listen to it. But there's Brother Lee at the time was testing these brothers, and one of the brothers was sharing. He touched me. He said, "You know, the covenants. The Jews had so many covenants. They had covenants to spare. They got so many promises, so many covenants. You know what? But we didn't have anything. We're in the flesh." They had circumcision. You know, circumcision eventually became a problem and became an ordinance. But what they had was they had a cutting off of the negative things. They were separated to God. They had God living with them, dwelling with them. He called them. We'll get to this Saturday night. He betrothed himself to them. He considered all of Egypt was a betrothing, bringing them out to marry them. He had a marriage covenant with them. Wow, all these promises and covenants were there. And they had God with them. They had the tabernacle. They had the temple. They had offerings. You know, it was touched last night. All those negative things, sins, the world. They had the sin offering. You can read Leviticus. Read the footnotes. It's really wonderful. I've been doing that recently. Oh, the footnotes on Leviticus are amazing. You'd think Leviticus is dry. Read the footnotes. You'll be touched. You need the sin offering. We need the sin offering. We're full of the world, the flesh, self, Satan. But we have a sin offering. We lay our hands on him. We have a burnt offering. We have one who's absolute for God. We're not absolute, but he's absolute. We have trespass. The Jews had all these things. They had a peace offering. They were at peace. Okay? With God, right? But we were far off. We were aliens. You know, okay, so let me get to this definition. What's commonwealth? Commonwealth. It's a kind of uncommon word, right? Commonwealth. And we're not talking about the Commonwealth of England, if you're from English, okay. I don't know what that is exactly. I know it gives you right to go to school in England, but really what it is it's a kingdom. That's why we say the Commonwealth of Israel, the kingdom of God. And commonwealth applies something that, we'll read this, you know, remember I told you we'd get back to Ephesians 2:19. You're no longer strangers and citizens, but no longer strangers and sojourners, but fellow citizens. Oh, I forgot to put sojourners. We got to be complete here, right? Sojourners. That means a wanderer. That's right. Wandering about. Somebody, you know, the Lord told the Israelites, when you were in Egypt, you were a sojourner. But when they came out, he talked about how to deal with sojourners. Because there's sojourners. Sojourners were not part of the kingdom. They had certain rights, but they didn't have the full rights. They had some responsibilities. If you were a sojourner living in Israel, you still had to pay tax. You had to pay the temple tax. But you didn't have the right. You didn't have a right to all the covenants. You're still a sojourner. There were some ways to get in, but it was kind of, you know, tricky, right? So, so we have to see that for us to become, we were alienated, all these things. But in 2:19, we see we're no longer strangers and sojourners. Right? We're citizens. We're citizens. So a footnote in 19:3 says, fellow citizens with the saints indicates the kingdom of God. All the believers, Jewish and Gentile, are citizens in God's kingdom. God's kingdom is the sphere which he exercises his authority. Right? So citizenship is a big deal. Citizenship indicates you have rights and responsibilities. If you're a citizen, you get all the rights of the country. Right? Obi, why don't you give your example?
Yeah.
You want this? Here, okay.
Yeah, Ben and I were fellowshipping about this point, and the theory came out, this matter of citizens. As a citizen of a country, you have full rights, full responsibility. I've lived here most of my adult life, but some of you may know, I am not a citizen of this country, at least yet. I have a lot of rights. I have a lot of responsibility, the chief one being I have to pay taxes. But I do not have full rights. I don't have all the responsibility. I'll give you an example. On the responsibility side, a lot of my coworkers have to take off something called jury duty. I know nothing of that. I have no idea what that is in terms of experience. Don't have full responsibility. I travel for my work, and I go out of the country sometimes. Once I leave this country, it is very, very apparent to me that I am not a citizen of this country. Because before other countries, you're not a citizen. You don't have a passport. So I do not enjoy the rights. Some countries, if you have a U.S. passport, you can walk in, no problem. Come in. I don't have that right. I enjoy a lot of rights, but not that one. Why? Because I am not a citizen. Even coming back into this country, I have a job, I have a house, all my loved ones are here. But when I come back in, most citizens, they say, welcome home. I don't get that. I'm a legal permanent resident. I've lived here most of my adult life, but I don't have the full rights. The full responsibility. But praise the Lord.
Amen.
As believers, we have full citizenship.
Amen.
Your fellowship with that. This is the picture, right? So what citizens are we? We don't care about the earthly kingdom so much, right? But this is a real deal. I also experienced this. We were traveling and being able to go in and somebody else not being able to go into a country, right? But what about us? What are we citizens of? We're citizens of this commonwealth, this kingdom, this sphere. So how did we get there? Let's look at A. At our regeneration, we entered the kingdom. So, right, Obi, you're going through a process, right, to get a citizenship, right? And so if you're not born in this country, you have to go through a process. My kids are citizens. That was kind of funny. I was telling one of my daughters, the older one, I said, "You know, you're a citizen." She's like, "Really?" I said, "Yeah, you didn't have to do anything. You know, we had to fill out a paperwork, but basically, you know, whether we filled it out or not, you're a citizen in the United States. Good to fill it out, but, you know, good to have that stuff. You need it for school. But, you know, no problem. What about us? How did we become a citizen? We were born. We were born again. When you're regenerated, you're a citizen of God's kingdom. That means you get all the rights. Wow, what rights do you have in God's kingdom? That's the first one. The verse says that you have a right to the tree of life. Yeah. See what other things you get? I was thinking, you have right to all the covenants and all the promises. Before, that promise was only to Abraham and his seed. And you know what? We're children of Abraham. Because we're joined to Christ. We have the very Christ in us who's also a seed of the seed of Abraham. We have the covenants and the promises. What does that mean? That means when I say, "Lord, forgive me of my sins," it's effective. If you're not a believer and you say, "Forgive me of my sins," nothing happens. Nothing happens. You don't have right. You don't have a contract. You don't have any access to that. What's the difference between a promise and a covenant? A promise is, you know, "I'm going to give you this piece of paper, Peter. I'm going to give it to you, but not right now. I promise to." But it's not effective, right? I mean, I don't have to. Legally, if he accepts it and he gives you some consideration, well, then even though it's word, that's a contract. That becomes a covenant. I studied this stuff. I'm a lawyer. So we had to learn all about what makes a contract. Now, it's better to write it down. If you ever make a contract, write it down. Okay. Not written down, gonna have problems. But if you make a contract with somebody, it's much stronger, right? You can legally enforce it. If you make a contract with somebody under the law, Texas law, you can go and take them to court. "You were gonna paint my house, I was gonna pay you $20. You know, whatever, but I was gonna pay you $200 on that, right? "You were gonna paint my fence, I was gonna pay you $50. If you didn't paint your fence, I'm gonna get the $50, right? Paint the fence, you owe him $50, period. That's just how it works. It's a contract. Okay, well, all the riches in God's house, all the forgiveness, the sin offering, trespass offering, now are available to us because God covenanted it to us. Amen. You know, this is called the Holy Bible. But you know, right at the beginning, there's a part, if you get to the first couple of pages, it says, the Old Testament. Old Testament. There's another part called the New Testament. What's a testament? What's the difference? Okay, so a testament is a kind of contract. Have you heard of a last will and testament?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's what a testament is. A testament is another contract whereby somebody bequeaths stuff to you and you get it. Okay, but how is it enacted? Death. Somebody has to die. You can write up a testament, last will and testament, but it's not effective until the person that gave the will and testament dies. So who died? Christ died for us.
Amen.
So now all the covenants are our testament and are bequeathed to us.
Amen.
Isn't it awesome? You have the riches of Christ. So another right we have is we have a right to Christ's life.
Amen.
We have a right to enjoy the tree of life. We have a right to enjoy all that Christ is.
Amen.
When we call Lord Jesus, we get his very person.
Amen.
The promise is the promise of the Spirit, right? Abraham's promise, and you see in Galatians, eventually it's the Spirit. We get the Spirit. Spirit, all that is available to us because now we're citizens. Isn't it? We're a part of the commonwealth. So now you know commonwealth, you know you can enjoy. Wow, I'm a citizen of the commonwealth.
Amen.
It's really amazing. Now, the thing about this kingdom is it's also, there's a sphere there. So just like with the household, we're in the kingdom. We get all the rights. We also have all the responsibilities. Okay. We have a sphere where God needs to rule. What is this? What is God's goal? Image? Saw it? Dominion. Remember, I really enjoyed image? Dominion. This is the one new man. So how is he carrying out his dominion? It's mainly in the aspect of ruling. When you think of a kingdom, maybe commonwealth doesn't give you the same sense, and citizen doesn't give you the same sense, because those are kind of the positive sides. But the negative side, in a sense, is ruling. You know, if you're in this realm, in the rules, there's certain rules, right? In Richardson, in city of Richardson, if there's a Richardson police officer and you're speeding, he's going to pull you over, probably, because you're not following the rules, right? Now, if a Houston police officer happens to be in Richardson, you know what? He can't. He doesn't have the authority. It's not his realm. It's not his area of jurisdiction, right? But we are in a different realm, right? In the church, we're in the realm where Christ is. So the first point is this kingdom is Christ, right? In those verses in Luke 17, right? They asked him, when is the kingdom coming? He answered and said, the kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, behold, here it is. There, for behold, the kingdom of God is in the midst of you. The kingdom of God is in the midst of you. So this very person was the kingdom on the earth. And then he got enlarged. So on one hand, we're citizens of the kingdom, but we have to realize we actually, when we live Christ, we are the kingdom as the church. So it's a sphere where God can rule. And I was touched, you know, a lot of times I'm burdened for the Lord to rule in this age, right? I look at things happening, I'm like, Lord, rule. Whether it's political, whether it's the world situation, some tragedy, Lord, rule. But often the Lord will remind me, what about you? And I have to say, Lord, yeah, rule it, rule in me. Well, rule me. Not just rule in me, rule me. You know, one of the prayers the brother often encourages us to pray is, Lord, defeat me all the time. Never let me win. Right? What does that mean? That bothered me. I used to be bothered to pray that. But, you know, that's because I like to win. I like to rebel against God. My natural man, you know, doesn't like to do what God wants. But it's so sweet to be defeated by Christ, to be his vanquished foes. Right? When we do that, we get a sweetness. So it's good to pray, Lord, defeat me. Don't let me win. This is the be under the ruling. Actually, the Lord can rule all the outward situations if he has a group of people that are ruled by him. Then in prayer, you really can touch. Those that are ruled by him can really pray for the situations in the world and have an effect. I've seen it, right? Eventually, our authority, we'll get to this later, is to overthrow Satan's kingdom. But first, we need to be those ruled by God. Okay? All right. So how does this kingdom grow? We'll see the rest of this outline. This kingdom that we received because we got Christ's life and that we're part of actually grows. There's a development of this kingdom. And I think we all have this experience, right? Let's read these verses in 2 Peter 1, 3 through 4, and then 11. Let's read it all together. Seeing amen. You have 11? For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be richly and bountifully supplied to you. So there's a matter of growth. But it's also, he's granted to us. And this is actually where you can see the promise. He's granted to us precious and exceedingly great promises. Amen. That you may become partakers, right? We have a right to partake of the divine nature. Amen. Even I would say the Jews, in the old sense, didn't have the right to partake of God's nature. they were close and near to God, but they didn't have, you know, as the new man, the joined, we now have the right to partake of God's nature. Right, but this is for what? In this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of God, kingdom of our Lord and Savior, will be richly and bountifully supplied to you. So, on one hand, there's a kingdom, there's a ruling, but it's supplied to us. As we enjoy him, as we enjoy his nature, and enjoy his life, we realize he has an opinion, he has a way of doing things. As the more he grows in us, the more we live him. You know, I would say in a sense, there's one of the brothers used to always say this, you know, be what you are until you're different. And sometimes that bothered me. What do you mean? That's kind of to me it's like a cop-out, you know, like, oh, I don't have to do anything. Well, you know, you need to do something. You need to enjoy the Lord. You need to grow in the Lord's life. But there is a sense that the more we grow, the more we express God. The more there's a ruling within us. And, you know, sometimes we see situations and we get frustrated if we're pursuing the Lord that we're not what we want to be. I don't know about you. I think all of us, as we go on in the Lord, we feel like I should be here, but the more the Lord shines, the more it seems I'm going down, you know? The more corrupted we become, we realize our whole being is corrupted. But we have an eternal kingdom. We have a life supplied to us. So the more we grow in this life, the more there's an expression of this life in us, right? It's bountifully supplied to us. We can enjoy the development of the divine life and the divine nature in us. Okay, so then D, the kingdom is the church life today. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Amen. You know, why do we have to say this point? It's because a lot of Christians, if they have any consideration for the kingdom, and we have made this consideration, we mainly consider the kingdom as being something in the future. Like, not today. Apparently, God is not ruling. But actually, the kingdom, first we have to see is a person he's developing in us, and now in the church life, there's the kingdom of God. Amen. Of course, we will have the manifestation, which I'll get to in a second, of an outward. I mean, the Lord will be ruling in an outward way. Right now, it's hidden. But in the church life, we're in the kingdom, right? We have the kingdom today. We have all the rights. Praise the Lord. How do we know we're in the kingdom? Because we have all the rights. We can experience them. And the kingdom is here because the church is here. So on one hand, we have the church, so we have the kingdom. On our hand, because we have the kingdom, we have the church. And the kingdom is expressed because the church is here. And the church life is where we live the kingdom. Right? If you want to try to live the kingdom by yourself, sorry, it's a corporate entity. It's a commonwealth. You're a citizenship of a corporate thing. You can't live it by yourself. We need to live the kingdom in the church life. And there's a responsibility. So the proper church life must be the kingdom, must be the living out of this sphere, you know. So that's why we have to ask, Lord, rule me, or defeat me. Lord, have your kingdom today. May we have the proper church life today. Eventually, right, in E, we see that the kingdom today will develop into the coming kingdom as a reward, inherited to the overcoming saints in the millennium. You know, this is another verse from Ephesians. For this do you realize, knowing that every fornicator, unclean person, or greedy person who is an idolater has no inheritance in the kingdom of God, kingdom of Christ and of God. So we've been regenerated into the kingdom of God, right? And we have an opportunity to participate in the millennium. But it is a reward. So there's an aspect that we'll get the full reward of the kingdom by taking care of the responsibilities of the kingdom today. I mean, this is really the kind of our experience, right? Hebrews 12:28 says, therefore, receiving an unshakable kingdom, let us have grace. Right? So this kingdom is there. It's unshakable, but there's also receiving of it. There's also responsibility. So the Lord is righteous. So there's a lot of ministry on this matter of the kingdom. There's a book called The Kingdom. It's fat. It's a good one to read for like a whole year with a group of people. But the kingdom is something we enjoy today, but in the future, if we want to enjoy all the riches of the millennial kingdom, we need to take care of our living today. This is how the Lord has a righteous living in us today. Of course, we'll all be in the New Jerusalem, right, as believers. But there is a matter of where the church, there's a reward, right? So the church today is where the kingdom is manifested, right? But this manifestation in a full way will be a reward to us in the millennial kingdom. And you can read, there's a lot of footnotes. If you read the footnotes to these verses here, read Hebrews 12, 28 in the footnotes, then you can get into this matter. My main burden here was for you to see that we had no rights. We were aliens. We were alienated. We were strangers. We were sojourners. But we've been brought into this kingdom. Amen. And brought into this household. So actually, now if you look back at 2:19, let's read that again, Ephesians 2:19. All together. So then, you are no longer strangers and sojourners, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household. So I hope you have a little bit more appreciation for this verse. We're no longer all these negative things. We now have access. We're a part of the kingdom and we're a part of his house. Amen. So what is this is a wonderful aspect of the church, right? Praise the Lord. We have like 10 minutes. It would be good if we could have some sharing. I think the brothers may help us with the microphones. Until they do, you could stand up at your seat. 10 minutes. How about... That way, just come up and speak something. It doesn't have to be a lot. Just read something if you enjoyed it.
Yeah.
That way everybody can hear. That's the point.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen.
So one thing I enjoyed, as he was saying earlier in this last lesson, as citizens we receive the full rights of the kingdom. Amen. And we don't, right when we're baptized and we take in the Lord, we receive all these rights. Like as a citizen, we get responsibilities to do certain things, but we also get certain things we're allowed to do, which I really enjoyed.
I really enjoyed how we need to let the Lord defeat us, because like whenever something is like overwhelming us, we think, you know, Lord, I can't handle this. Why are you doing this to me? But really, the Lord isn't doing it to you. He wants you to trust in him, and because we can't do anything on our own. And so we need to just let the Lord defeat us and rule in us.
I like the beginning part of message 3 where he was talking about being part of a household and that being part of a family. I remember being like 4 or 5 and being like, why do we call the brothers and sisters brothers and sisters? That always confused me because I was like super logical as a kid. So that really got me thinking about how we are all family in the household of God.
Amen. All right, I just really appreciated the fact that when we become citizens of the Commonwealth, so the Kingdom of God, we obtain all the rights I remember right before I received the Lord, the Lord was convicting me, and I had all these sins before me. And at first I thought, okay, well, I'll just cling to the cross, and I'll just say, okay, well, I have the cross, I have the cross. But then the Lord said, there was this sense that, there's not quite I don't quite have access yet. There was a sense that, wow, I can't just cling to a cross and just try to claim it that way as if that's my salvation, some cross. But the Lord was so sweet. He invited me into himself. He showed me that he is the way. And then, praise the Lord, when I received him, then I had the access. So praise the Lord, he is the way. He is our access.
He judges Satan, and I really enjoyed the picture of how a mother would go to correct someone else's children before she corrects her own. And then I don't know, whenever I would go to school or something, and then the Lord would touch me on something, and then I'd be like, Lord, leave me alone, but. there's just some days you want to live in yourself and just live in your flesh, but we just need to tell the Lord to rule in us.
Amen. For the Lord to rule in the world, he has to first rule in us.
Amen.
I appreciated, to see the vision of the church. We have to be those who see the body.
Amen.
Right? And actually, this is just for us to enthrone God in our being.
Amen.
Right? So not only do we have all these promises and covenants and these rights, but we also have responsibilities.
Amen.
So our responsibility is to be in the church life.
Amen.
Right? Not because our parents make us come, but because we see the vision.
Amen.
This will keep us. If we want to be those who bring the Lord back.
Amen.
Amen. Ephesians 2:12, that you were at that time apart from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenant of the promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But I enjoyed through John 3:5, when we were regenerated, when we were born again, we became citizens of the kingdom of God. And then I also appreciated that everything is available through this covenant. A covenant is like a contract. It's binding. Everything that God has promised and planned is ours because we are citizens of God's kingdom.
I enjoyed the same thing at the beginning when we were reading this over and over again. I was just getting sadder and sadder. I was like, oh my goodness, this is really terrible. But I just really appreciated that the Jews have all of this. And just by regeneration, we get to the other side. I appreciated that so much. And, when we get regenerated, we get into Christ,
amen,
right? And Christ is the seed of Abraham. And all the covenants become ours.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I enjoy Genesis 1:26, and God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Man are created to be like God. We are meant to express the Lord. So Lord, let us express you.
Amen.
And when we get back from the conference, let us still express you.
Amen.
Very good. So we'll have more opportunities to share.
We would like to give you all time after every message. So while you're enjoying and you're taking your notes and you're drawing the spirit out of the brothers, you're helping give the message by drawing it out, but you're also, okay, I think I want to confirm the word with this point, okay?